You'll see from your bulletin that the gospel lesson for this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, comes from the first chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 18 through 25. As you remember, the first few weeks of Advent, we've had some interesting texts. We've had texts about apocalyptic text, you know, or the first week. And then we've been talking about John the Baptist. And again, it doesn't seem quite like a Christmas text. So here we move to the first chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 18 through 25. As I read these ancient words, listen for something that's being spoken into your life and into your heart at this particular point on your journey of faith. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. That's it. That's the Christmas story according to St. Matthew. That's right. That is it. So what are you going to do? Now, when you get home, what are you going to do? If that's all you have, that is the Christmas story, what are you going to do with all that stuff? What are you going to do with all the props? You're going to get rid of them, all the props that are all over your house, all over your yard, on the house, in the trees. If they're not in the story, what are you going to do with them? Hold that thought. All right. Advent week 4 is today. That means that Christmas is coming, and it's coming soon. In fact, 1 week from today is Christmas Day. On Saturday night, we'll be in here, jam-packed, singing the carols, welcoming the season among us. You know, we just lit the fourth candle, the fourth purple candle on the wreath. But the problem is, the story we just read doesn't sound quite right. Doesn't sound quite like Christmas yet. No. That's not what we're celebrating, is it? What we're celebrating is Luke's version, right? Not Matthew's. This one. "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem." Well, you know the story. We'll read it next Saturday night. We'll read the whole thing. And then you'll feel like it's Christmas. You know, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. I did this at the other services. That really tells your age. Swaddling clothes, now we say bands of cloth, which doesn't quite sound as right, but you get the point. And she laid him in a, because there was no room for them in the, okay, you got the story. But that's Luke. That's not in the story I just read. No. But that story is much better. It's more beautiful, it's organic, it just feels great, it just warms our heart. And that's what we really feel like we're celebrating, right? Or is it? Think this. Well, let's look at Matthew's version again, and we'll kind of just look at it from a high level, kind of capture the essence of the story I just read a moment ago. And I came up with these words that I think captured all. Chaos. Secrets. Disorder, dreams, confusion, change, expectations, and of course, divine intervention. Friends, how have your preparations for Christmas been going? They've been going pretty well. Feel pretty good about things. Hospice chaplain Aaron Klink names the elephant that we often fail to see in what I call the Advent room. He writes these words. Let's hear these. American culture and media both load Christmas with false expectations of family harmony and good cheer. These images and expectations allow Hallmark and the shopping mall catalog to define the, quote, perfect Christmas. In the weeks before Christmas, many who worship in our congregations invest a great deal of time and energy trying to achieve that picture-perfect Christmas. Others feel emptiness or sadness that their lives and their families prevent them from having the sort of Christmas they believe they should have. He then goes on to suggest that Matthew's nativity, Matthew's Christmas story, is a healthy corrective to this, a healthy corrective to the Hallmark Christmas by presenting a story that is anything but conventional. It's not conventional at all. Story's a total mess. You have God making the divine entrance into the world through a questionable pregnancy. A pregnancy that is highly suspicious. One that should be handled behind the scenes with great stealth and with great tact. As in, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But that's not what happened, is it? Of course not. Just when Joseph had resolved to do this, Joseph's going to do this, move on, an angel Lord appeared to him in a dream. In a dream? What's going on here? An angel Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Emmanuel. Emmanuel happens in Matthew's Christmas story. God shows up, and what happens? Turmoil. Total turmoil. Last Wednesday, many of you gathered in this space with us to have a quiet, what we call a quiet Christmas. And what we meant by that there are many folks for whom Christmas is not light and bright and celebratory, but rather overshadowed by threatening clouds of anxiety or sadness or deep grief. Turmoil, in other words. So we gathered for a quiet Christmas. A quiet Christmas to acknowledge the turmoil in our lives. Let's just name it as we try to embrace Emmanuel. We try to embrace God with us. And our own Deborah Horton did an amazing job leading us in this whole process, and you should thank her when you get a chance. So anyway, have you ever noticed that in the Scriptures, that time and time again, when someone is confronted by an expression of the divine, they tend toward fear? That's like, it seems to be the natural reaction to encountering God. Don't you think? Think about it. Think way back. You remember, anybody ever heard the story early in the tradition? We call it the story of Adam and Eve. Anybody ever heard that story? A few of you have heard of it? Okay. All right. Anyway, you know in that story, they're in the Garden of Eden, everything's going great, and they're given one little instruction, right? You can do whatever you want. This is a great place. Whatever you want, except do not eat from that one tree. Anything else goes. And what do? They eat from the tree, right? And then, of course, turmoil breaks out. Anyway, God gets a hunch that they're up to something, right, in the garden. And God comes to find out what is happening. And God moves through the garden. God calls to them. And God says, where are you? Now, I don't want to deal with the theological significance of such a query, okay? We'll deal with that some other time. But just go with the story, okay, folks? Where are you, God says. Well, we know what happens. Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. 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 Afraid of what exactly? Afraid of encountering God? Or how about following the Exodus? The Israelites have fled Egypt. They go to the mountain of God. They go to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, and there they're confronted by the presence of God. And they panic, right? When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and they trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us." Afraid of God? Now, you know, I'm afraid of a lot of things. Most of my life is based on fear, unfortunately. But there are three things of which I am especially afraid. Not necessarily in this order. Heights, snakes, and germs. Oh, yeah. Amen to that. It's my personal experience that fear can be a very limiting disposition. And believe me, it can. So think about this for a moment. Just kind of ponder your mind. Of what are you afraid? What limits you? And isn't fear just an awareness or a belief that change, maybe an abrupt change, could happen? Could happen if things proceed a little bit further. You know, maybe your life will change. It rattles you. It unnerves you. You know, some things, you know, some human experience, I think, transcend time and space and culture, and this is one of them. We've always been afraid. People have always been afraid. Consistently across the ages, we've been afraid, and fear breeds paralysis. We get so bound up in our fear that we cannot go about living our lives in any satisfactory way, even lives, maybe especially lives of faith. Moses said to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, "Do not be afraid." Sound familiar? It should. It should. We prepare to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. We remember Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. We remember the shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem. We remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, all being encouraged to fear not. And today we read this, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." Of what? A disruption? Isn't that what is at the root of all fear anyway? Disruption of our status quo? That's perfect. Reverend Klink suggests that, in essence, Matthew's Christmas story is disruptive to our current practices, and that is what makes it such a good story. That's a good thing, he says, because maybe when we fail to have the, quote, perfect Christmas, with the perfect tree and the perfect table and the perfect family and the perfect life, we are afforded the opportunity to allow God to show up and do something new, disrupt us, and to dispel the fear that holds us captive, a fear of moving down a new path. All right, in our Thursday Bible studies, we have a Bible study every week, folks, morning and night. So stay tuned for that. We often talk in our Bible studies about God as a great interrupter. Great interrupter. And that's it. God is the great interrupter. She interrupts the complacency of our lives and challenges us to live fearlessly. Challenges us to live Emmanuel lives. And that's the Christmas message. So maybe our concern for a traditional Christmas is misguided at best, and maybe even a little sacrilegious at worst. Maybe Christmas should be a little bit disruptive to our lives, a bit chaotic, anxiety. Well, it is anxiety producing, but anyway. Maybe we should go home and just disrupt things. You know, you got nice Christmas decorations, go out and stir them up a little bit. You know, take the creche, turn everybody over, and just leave it there like that. Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should practice Christmas by practicing a little holy interruption. Maybe we should do something out of character. Friends, we should not be afraid of the divine interruption that Christmas symbolizes. We should not be planning the perfect Christmas. No. Instead, we should be reveling in the uncertainty of Emmanuel as we ask the question of all questions. What needs to be disrupted in my life today? 1 week. That's what we've got to work with, folks. 1 week. So let me send you off with some ancient wisdom. Fear not. 7 days. Let's use them wisely. Thanks be to God. Amen.